Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, we're going to take a moment and pray. Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the divine healing and health that you've already provided for us, Lord. We thank you for the soundness in our bodies and in the soundness of our minds, Lord. We thank you for strength, both spiritual and natural, Lord, to do everything that you've called us to do in excellence. And we thank you for taking this time to spend with us this morning, Lord, to train us, to admonish us, to equip us and encourage us, Lord, to make sure that we're able to stand in everything that you've asked us to do, Lord, and be successful in all of our endeavors in you. And we thank you for the blood that washes us white, Lord, and the forgiveness that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're glad to have you with us as we dive into the Word and continue our study in 2 Thessalonians. This morning, we are continuing our conversation in chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. So whether you're joining us for the first time or rejoining us, we'd like to encourage you to pause the episode and just take a moment to read through that section of scripture in order to make things easier in following along with this discussion. So, that being said, the floor is now open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
All right. So just kind of picking up on where we were talking in the last episode, you know, and I just want to encourage the listeners, don't worry about the great tribulation. I know we Amen. All want to, you know, like when you hear it, you kind of tense up and you go, I don't want to be a part of that, if you know, because we think it's going to hurt or it's going to be a challenge and miserable, or, you know, be concerned about when it's going to happen and how long. Our job is to stand. Our job is Amen. To be found faithful to the Lord and be prepared for whenever the Lord returns or we fall asleep in Him, or no matter what happens, when it happens, how long, that our determination and our focus and our mind and our heart is fixed on just being faithful to the Lord, being found ready at any point, at every moment, every time, and every day, and not being afraid of the great tribulation. Mm-hmm. We have nothing to fear in Him, which also I think as we close out the end of this chapter, the Apostle Paul is getting to, he's like, yes, these things are going to happen, but stand fast, hold fast to what you were taught, and the Lord who loved you and has given everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, receive the comfort and let Him establish you in every good work and every good word. Just telling them again, put your heart and your mind back on the Lord. Yes, you know these things are going to happen, but it's not something for you to be afraid of. It's not something for you to be overly focused on, because if you're overly focused and watching when the tribulation is going to happen, that means inherently you're not watching what Jesus is doing right here and right now. And you're missing, you know, you would be missing that standpoint, but let God comfort you. He knows all things and He's already placed you in the palm of His hand. As we learn about the character and the nature of the Lord, He said there is going to be a separating of the sheep and the goats. Mm-hmm. When that separating happens is up to the Lord. There is a final, like when you get the soul and that individual gets placed into their bucket, whether it's the bucket of heaven or it's the bucket of now they're destined to Sheol. The Lord is going to clarify what's in the hearts. Back to the opening parts of this section in verse 11 and 12. He's clarifying or allowing opportunity for clarification of what's in their hearts. Remember that all things are naked and open before Him. The Lord, the Word of God, is a discerner between the thoughts and intents of the heart. And while humans can cover things for us from the naked eye of humans, right? They can pretend, they can fool, they can be that sheep in wolf's clothing because they're guising what's actually in their heart. And humans cannot tell God sees the hearts, and he just gives an opportunity for whatever is in their heart to come to the surface. Likewise, he gives opportunity for what's in our heart to come to the surface, whether it's steadfast and immovable towards Jesus Christ, or it's riding the fence, as you mentioned in the last episode, Promise. So just as we look through the word and we see opportunities to learn about how God operates and who he is, realize that God is never doing anything wrong. He's never doing anything bad. And even you could compare this section to when he talked about Pharaoh, when he was delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, where it says the Lord hardened his heart. Well, the Lord does not make us make a choice, right? That would be contrary to him making us free moral agents. What happened is he gave him an opportunity to show what was in his own heart by sending Moses to do things that aggravated him. But really, Moses was just asking for the children of Israel to be free. And that was so aggravating to Pharaoh that he let come out of his mouth and out of his actions, he truly revealed what he really felt about God. Uh-huh. Right?
Yes, mommy.
God didn't make him do those actions and then judge him for something he made him do. That is contrary to God's character and his nature. He gave Pharaoh an opportunity to either humble himself, right, and choose life, or to just truly reveal what was in his heart and how he felt about God. Because he was not surprised to learn about God. He wasn't foreign to who the God of creation was. He was in the midst of rejecting God, and God just gave him opportunity to do that, just that. Likewise, in these people we're talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's opportunity to see what's in their heart. The truth is presented. Are you going to, and a lie is presented. Are you going to marvel at those lying signs and wonders, or are you going to reject them? And the what's in our heart will determine our response, right?
Yes,
so
mommy.
We are thankful for the Lord doing that. And we're thankful for the times that he reveals to us what's in our heart even now. So we have an opportunity to change. We have an opportunity to correct what if there's anything out of alignment in us. And we take comfort in knowing that the Lord is invested in us making it to our eternal destination with him. He is deeply invested, and he's given us his grace and hope and things that we can look at to identify, okay, my heart is clean before God, and I'm moving forward with him. And as we grow with God, he's always going to be there. He's going to help us as long as we desire to walk and continue to move forward with him.
Yes, mommy. There was something interesting that I was speaking with the Lord about this morning concerning the Great Tribulation. And I was telling him, I was like, man, Lord, it'd be really great to go away on that cloud to meet you in the air, to be shining in a glittery dress that looks so awesome on me, and, mm-hmm. you know, be reunited with you. And he led me to, this is Revelation 7, and I'll start in read from verses 9 through 15. And it says, after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Mm-hmm. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. So when I was asking the Lord about this and speaking to him concerning the Great Tribulation and wanting to go home on the clouds, he was telling me that there are some people that are still going to be here. And it's not because they didn't make a choice per se. I mean, there are some that haven't made a choice yet, and there are some that already made that steadfast choice, but the Lord needs them to fulfill a mission because the gospel still needs to be preached. You can't have these people coming out of the Great Tribulation if they haven't heard the word of the Lord. And yes, we have there are going to be the two witnesses that preach as well. And I'm sure there'll be a Bible or something somewhere to grasp hold of, but he still has commissioned some believers to be in the earth still. And then he told me about the elect, and I don't quite remember where that scripture was, but he said, unless the days had been shortened, even the elect would be deceived, which is to say, some of the elect are here. And it's not because they were faithless, again, but they have a mission to complete. The two witnesses weren't wicked. That's not why they were here on the earth. They had a mission to complete. The Lord sent them to do something, which was to preach the gospel. And so after the Lord told me that, I'm like, are you telling me I'm going to be here for the great tribulation? Are you dashing my hopes before my eyes, if you will? And he's like, no, but I need you to understand this, because many people, they want to get out. And I understand that, to meet the Lord in the heavens at the blowing of the trumpet. And there's still work that needs to be done, because other people need that opportunity to hear the word. So if we all skip off, all that's going to be left in the world is wickedness, aside from, you know, the two witnesses that come and do what they're supposed to. And
there's 144,000 on the mountain.
They're sealed, but they're not on the earth, though. They're already, you know, separated. But I'm talking, the Lord was specifically talking to me about believers that were still here for the great tribulation. And it wasn't because they didn't choose him. It's because God has a special mission for them to complete. Mm-hmm. And there was a special honor given to those people. So again, back to what you were saying, Mommy and Dad, there's no reason to be afraid of the great tribulation. There's no reason to be afraid of the Antichrist, the beast, or the anything if you're on God's side, because his name is above every other name, and every other power, tongue, knee, and so on and so forth will confess that he is Lord, and has to submit themselves or itself to the Lord and his authority. So again, there's no reason to be afraid. And if that is the mission that the Lord is calling you to fulfill, rejoice, because it's not for nothing. He isn't punishing you and saying, well, you weren't good enough to meet me in the cloud, so I'm going to torture you here, and then I'll let you back in at the end. He just has work for you to do, just like Stephen. He was stoned. I don't think that was fun for one second, but he had a mission to complete, and he did so. So we should complete all the missions that the Lord asks us to do, regardless of the face it takes on, because he sees what we cannot, and he knows things that we don't, and he knows how to make everything flow together, fit together perfectly, and accomplish his will, because in the grand scheme of life and eternity, that's all we're here for, is to be part of the Lord's plan to bring glory to his name. So
the scripture that you were looking for is Matthew 24:24, which says, for false Christs and false prophets will appear or arise, depending on your translation, and perform great signs and wonders that would deceive even the elect if that were possible. Now, why would it not be possible?
You're listening to the Holy Spirit
at all times about concerning everything, absolutely everything, right? Not trying to trust on their own,
certainly not their eyes or their ears,
right?
Or the opinions of others, because in that section they're talking about opinions.
Is that not being conformed to the image of Christ? Because that's what it says about him in Isaiah 11. I would not judge by what his eyes saw or what his ears heard, right? But with righteousness he would judge, right? With testimony of the Father, right? So there's something that, you know, I want to share a couple things, because I've been talking about missions, right? And in this, the whole point of Galatians is to understand what the end time army looks like, to be prepared to fight, right? We've had all these different parts that the Lord brought us through, starting with Acts and continuing forward. But now it's the part where we're actually waging war, right? A military is not concerned by the warfare. Every battle is the same. We like to then, or historians, I should say more accurately, like to look back and go, this is the great battle of whatever. Gettysburg, or this
had a title,
you
know, to it,
or D-Day, right? Or you know, the Battle of Midway. This was a turning point in this war, right? Whatever it is, all these very specific things concerning specific battles. How did they train and prepare for that battle?
Like they did for every other one.
Exactly. There's no difference. This is the training. This is, we're going to go through it, and we're going to then apply the training to accomplish the mission.
Yeah, they might adapt them different strategies maybe, but like if it's a jungle versus a desert.
Absolutely.
You know.
But there was still the training, right?
Mm-hmm. So but the foundation was the
whether
same.
Whether it was at sea, right? Mm-hmm. You had to train a certain way to operate in that environment. If it was, as you just said, in the jungle, you have to train and operate a certain way in that environment. Mm-hmm. Or the desert, or right? For any of these, whatever the environment is, and trust the Lord that he's bringing you through to operate in that and every environment, that you're well-equipped. You're already, if you receive the training, if you apply what's there, you will be successful. And it's not receive the training, then go off on your own game plan. No, you also have to receive the game plan, right? That's the whole operational aspect. There's a coordinated effort. There is a battle plan that then needs to be executed. And people at headquarters are making adjustments and calling them in as needed to position you, right? The force that's there at the tactical level to position you and ultimately to win the battle, to get the victory, right? To be victorious. If that's in the natural level, how much more so is our Lord and Savior doing that in the spiritual for us here, in both the spiritual and natural? He's, as you said, honey, the Lord is deeply invested in you and ensuring that you make it, right? And let's also recognize this. Yes, there are those that fall away. I mean, our Lord and Savior experienced that himself. I'll just read Luke 20:20. So they watched him closely. This is the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. And sent spies to pretend to be sincere. Other versions say, to pretend to be righteous. I mean, pretending to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so that they could hand him over to the jurisdiction and authority of the governor. Well, wait a second. Aren't we just talking about that? A separation of the sheep and the goats?
The revealing of the thoughts and intents of the heart to determine whether they are of the sheep or of the goats.
So, wait, the Lord experienced that as well. And then there was another, that brings us to another point that was brought up. I believe you brought this up, honey. Everything is laid bare, open and bare before him. Right? Now, John 2:25 says plainly, he did not need any testimony of man, for he knew them all, or he knew what was in man. It's the same thing. What's in your heart? He knows what's there. So will we allow him to refine us and to work those things out of us that do not reflect him, that are not the truth? And will we uproot those things from our life and replace it with truth? Or will you attempt, as we've been discussing here in some of these previous episodes, will you attempt to hang on to it, to save it for later, which denotes that it still holds some value in your life? Because if it holds no value, those things typically get you get rid of. So you can make room for the more.
For what you do need.
For exactly. For the more that the Lord has of what you actually need. So have you made that decision for yourself yet? What is more valuable in your life?
Well, very quickly, we've talked about how that we should be constantly growing inside of God and deepening our relationship. Our relationship with God and our reliance on him. And the Lord was also reminding me of how with God is already giving us the mysteries and the understanding of what we should be doing, and also we have to allow the Holy Spirit to show us how to use it. And the Lord reminded me of the armor of
in Ephesians 6.
Yes.
Okay.
Of how if we're to, the Lord is already giving us the equipment needed, but if we're too scrawny to use it, or if we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to act.
It's not about being scrawny, sir.
But weak spiritually, I think, is what he's getting at.
so, but like, if we're talking about military things, they give you your kit, as it's called. And then you have to adjust your kit for you and for the mission set, the operation, and your role in the operation, right? Or the mission that you're called to carry and conduct. How you configure it is different. But here's the thing. you have to put it, if you will, together. You have to put it on. You have to get comfortable in it, which goes to that maturity aspect that you were just mm-hmm. talking about, honey.
But before they give you that kit, they first test you to see if you're even strong enough Amen. To be a part of the military. And then if they give you those plates, it does take some adjustment. If you put plates in your mm-hmm. vest and bulletproof plates in your vest, they're heavier. You have to build yourself up to meet the requirements of carrying that armor, though that kit that they give mm-hmm. you. That rucksack is heavy. It's hard. You got to get some calluses on. You got to practice a little bit. Otherwise, you're going to be feeling it when you try to go into battle, and you won't be ready and at your best to do that when the time arises. So there is an element of putting it on and putting it together, but rising to meet the occasion of being able to carry it and wield it effectively. That means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, right? Becoming ready mm-hmm. on your end to put that armor on and be able to carry it and wield it effectively. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Promise.
And also how the Holy Spirit is giving us knowledge, and we also have to go to the Holy Spirit to allow us to give wisdom. Knowledge is simply the chance or the potential to, in order to do something good, or having the ability to do it, but not necessarily the means. Versus wisdom is when there's actually the means to do it.
It's the correct application of knowledge.
Yes, and we have to be allowing the Holy Spirit to fully give us the knowledge and wisdom in order for us to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, there's a lot in there, so we're going to pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your love and your grace and the kindness that you've shown us, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity to choose you, Lord. We thank you for the work that you've laid out for each of us to complete, Lord. We thank you for the work that you're doing in us, Lord, that you're building our faith, Lord, that you're strengthening us spiritually and naturally, Lord. And we thank you for your heart that you have for us, Lord, that you loved us and you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross and be raised again on the third day so that we could have life eternal with you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord, and we thank you for the chance to be your sons and your daughters, Lord, to be your friends, Lord, to speak with you face to face and to be close and one with you just as you, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about a day of prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.